Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Brie.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello.
And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
We surely do.
Mm-hmm. I'm Brie.
And I'm Allie.
Oh. Yeah, and today...
said at the same time right there. They will never figure it out. Who is who?
Who are we? Today we're covering Warm Bodies.
Mm-hmm. Super cute one. Mm-hmm. A picture. Mm. Got one?
I saw The Odyssey last night.
Oh, how was it?
It was actually really fucking good. I was so... Literally the week before we saw it, I told John... I was like, let me preface this with, because Rob's in it, we just assumed that I wanted to see it, right?
Yeah.
And so this felt like this week Spider-Man comes out and we were seeing The Odyssey. And so this felt like a my movie versus his movie type of thing, right?
Okay.
And so a week before I told him, I was like, I'm actually nervous. I am not sure that I'm going to like this. And he was like, what? I was like, it's The Odyssey. Like, it was a boring story that I read in English class in high school. I think it's going to be boring. And he was like, I don't think you have anything to be worried about. Like, I think it'll be more entertaining. And I was like, I'm nervous. Like, the main things I wanted to go and see it for were because Chris Nolan vowed to not use CGI in this. And there's a Cyclops in it. And he did it all practically.
Nice.
And like the giants that were in it were actually 7 foot tall people, and Matt Damon's stunt double was a woman who was 5 foot, so that you could see a massive difference in the height. So to me, as a filmmaker, I was excited for all of that, but I was still nervous. And so the movie started, and like immediately they do it in a way where you're just like so interested in it, and like I was invested. Bless you. Almost right away. And John kept looking over at me throughout like the first like 30 minutes. And then finally he leans over and he's like, you look bored. I was like, what? I'm not. I'm invested, John.
Into it.
Yeah, I was like, great. I look bored when I'm literally like, I was upset that he leaned over to talk to me because I was like, I'm going to miss something. But yeah, it was really good. And then I was like, I thought it was hilarious. Because it gets to a part where I realized I was like, oh, Rob's going to have to do a sword fight. Like, this is going to be cool to see. But the character he plays is the one who stands behind a pillar and is yelling at everyone else to grab swords and grab shit.
He's the weenie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Rob. And then he's the bad guy. And like, he's been trying to get the Tom Holland's character killed for the vast majority of the movie. And when Matt Damon's character comes home, he kills Rob, which is what you're cheering for, right? Like, it's the bad guy. You should be cheering for that. John looked over at me and I was like, I knew it was going to happen, but did I want it to happen? No.
Aww.
John went, oh my God. Rolled his eyes.
Thanks. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Well, that's good. I wanted to, the cast made me be like, I gotta see this movie. So probably not in theaters, but once it's streaming, I will be watching it.
Fucking good. I literally. Oh, here's how I wanted to paint the story for this one. Everyone, today is my birthday pick. So the book that comes out close to my birthday, and what I do with the books in my birthday month, I always try to pick the one that I'm the most excited for this day.
Yes.
So it started with King Richard.
Oh, yeah.
I was so fucking excited. I loved that movie. I loved learning about Serena and Venus's dad. It was so good. I couldn't wait to read the book. I got halfway through the book that, if you Google, it says that the movie is loosely based off of. And I was like, nah, we've covered loosely based before. We can figure it out. I got halfway through and I went, this has been all about his childhood. And in the movie, it's all about him raising the girls. So something's not right here. Like, let me look into this. So then I Google some more and find out that essentially King Richard is, quote unquote, based off of books, but not a specific book. And basically, the director of King Richard just got Serena and Venus's input for the majority of the story. Well, so then I was like, oh, fuck, we can't do this. This is not a movie based off of a book. So this is just not possible. So then I was like, fuck, what is something that I want to cover that I'll be excited about? I landed on the Batman, guys. I was so fucking excited. So fucking excited. Could not wait. I'm so excited. I don't think Allie's ever watched the fucking Batman yet. It's so good. Nope. She needs to watch it. I was ready to jump into a comic book. Allie was like, yeah, let's do it. So then I asked Tom, my comic book friend, hey, which comic is this based off of? Because, like, from what I'm reading online, it's saying, like, we should do this one, but maybe we should do this one. And he goes, actually, it's not really based on any comic. I was like, oh. And he was like, it's kind of based off of this one with the feel of this one with the storyline of that one. I was like, great. Cool. And he was trying so hard to find a way for us to be able to do it on off script. And I was like, yeah, that is not one that we can do on off script. I'm not going to be like, hey, Allie, let's sit down and read three comics and compare it to a movie.
But a comic is like 10, 15 pages. I mean, it's not. It's more than that. But it's not hard. Or is it like a comic set?
It's a comic. Like, it's a book. Not a comic book like what you're thinking of.
Those are easy to read.
Well, my next birthday month, we have a massive graphic novel that we are going to be doing.
Okay.
You might want to start it now.
How big is massive?
596 pages.
Okay.
But it's a comic
graphic novel. Yeah.
Yeah. So you should be able to do it easy, but it might be, I might have to buy that and then have you start it before me.
Okay.
Anyways. So then I was like, motherfucker, like, all of this is happening as me and Allie have already started reading books for season 9. And I was like, fucking hell, I've never had it this late for me to pick a fucking book for our, like, series, right? For our season. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't fucking know. And so I'm like just going through the books and none of them I'm like really excited about. And I'm like, god damn it. Like, the one for my birthday that I'm the most excited is about to be one that I just randomly like toss in here, whatever. Warm Bodies is actually one that I have scheduled in my birthday month, like, from the beginning, but then I got more excited for other books. So I was like, okay, fine, let's do this. So then, like, was it a week or two ago when you texted me?
About what?
About The Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
So a week or two ago, Allie texts me and is like, Brie, why don't you just do The Odyssey for your birthday? And me, not realizing how much I would fucking love the movie, I was worried that it was going to be boring. I thought it was all going to be so boring for us. And I was like, I don't super want to force us to read that to then be bored of the movie. But she was like, but it's a Rob movie. And I was like, you're fucking right. Maybe I should just do that. Then we looked at how long the audiobook was, and the audiobook is 15 hours. And I was like, Allie, there is no way in hell we can do that in time for it to come out for my birthday. So that's getting put on the back burner, and I'm about to be bored as fuck by that story. So I don't think I'm going to do it anytime soon. Well, last night, like, not even 20 minutes in, I went, fuck, I wish me and Allie covered this. I wish I made us do this. And then I realized, I was like, ah, well, I'm going to be making us do it a lot quicker than I anticipated. And also, that one, I thought I had only read bits and pieces in class, but watching mm-hmm. the movie, I realized that I knew the whole story. And so I was like, oh, this is one that I actually paid attention to in class. So well, obviously good. Not that boring.
Google makes it sound so much longer than it is. So they call them books instead of chapters. Yeah. So the initial thing is it's 24 books long. I'm like, what the heck? And then it's like, it's about 450 to 550 pages. I was like, how? But which book is that long? Yeah. And then it goes on to saying it's like books or chapters. I'm like, just call it chapters. Like, that's yeah, so confusing.
The hell?
That's funny.
Well, also, too, yeah. Allie did not realize that this book is older than the freaking Bible.
So, I know. That's so cool. That would be our oldest one ever. I don't think we'd ever get older than that.
Probably not.
It's like 4,000 years old. That's so cool. Or no, what was it? It was like 60...
When did it come out? I can't remember. I just know it was old as fuck. And I was like, Allie, I don't think I can make us... Like, Allie and I are on such a roll. I'm so proud of us. We're about to be so fucking ahead in our reading and recording. And I felt like if I threw in the Odyssey, that was about to like derail our train so hard that I was like, I don't want to risk it just yet.
Right. 7th or 8th century BC. Yeah, that wouldn't be BC. Be AD. No, it wouldn't be BC. About 28,000 years ago. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, that's
crazy. Way longer than 4,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant 100. 27 to 2800 years ago. I was like, that's not longer. What are you talking about? And then I realized I said it wrong.
Like, what the fuck? There's a book that old?
That would be crazy. This is kind of crazy. But there's a book that old.
Yeah, it is. Like, that's insane. Like
that is that around old, today.
That's around a day that holds up, that people still read.
Craziness.
Yeah. Anyways, there we go. Kay. Here's our picture.
Cool. Okay. Long 10-minute picture. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, our synopsis for Warm Bodies is a young zombie who exists in a decaying post-apocalyptic world unexpectedly forms a connection with a living human girl, triggering a strange transformation that begins to restore his humanity. As their relationship grows, it sparks a shift that challenges the divide between the living and the undead, drawing others into a fragile hope for change. Together, they must navigate fear, survival, and what it means to be truly alive in the world on the edge of collapse. Mm-hmm. Our author is Isaac Marion. Our director is Jonathan Levine. And our screenplay writer is also Jonathan Levine.
Why do I know that name, Jonathan Levine? Has he done one of our movies and books before?
No idea.
I'll look it up.
Okay. The book came out October 14th, 2010.
Or my phone will be acting up.
And the movie came out February 1st, 2013. That's a 3-year difference.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I thought the book had been out way longer than that.
I did too. What did you do first?
I watched the movie first.
I did as well, way back when.
Yep, same.
What are your thoughts?
I am embarrassed by how long it always takes me to realize that it's a retelling of Romeo and Juliet.
It took me watching it for him to be like looking at her on the balcony. I'm like, during my video is when I realize it, because I'm saying something else. And then you'll see, oh, it's Romeo and Juliet. Like, I'm like, it's like embarrassing. I'm like, are Romeo, Julie, Juliet? Oh my gosh. It was like, man, it was mind blowing.
That's hilarious. No, for me, it's always whenever I realize it's R and Julie, I like it takes me a like hot
right
minute.
At the beginning. Me, I'm at the very end.
You're at the point where she's on a balcony.
On a balcony. I was like, oh my gosh. I said, it's like Romeo and Juliet. And then it was like, it is Romeo. I gotta see that video now. What'd I do? Oh my gosh, that's so funny. But anyways, yeah, I think it's adorable.
Mm-hmm, it's a good one.
So I watched this while Riley was having a sleepover. And so part of my videos have Taylor Swift's music in the background because the girls are belting it out. And then the other parts are me like, oh my gosh, are they coming up here? And I was scared because I was watching a zombie movie. Okay, I'm going to put it in the microphone. This was my video. Turn it up.
Is it Romeo and Juliet? I didn't get it until... Like, I was going to make a Romeo and Juliet joke because she's on her little balcony. Her name is Julie. And he's R. Am I just figuring this out?
So stupid.
Oh, no.
That was my last video, too. That's, like, how far into the watching.
You didn't even pick it up when you read it?
I watched it first.
Oh, you read it. Yep, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, I know. I wonder if I would have caught it. I would have had to. That's ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Anyways, so what are your, or why did we pick it?
Because this is one that I kept trying to schedule in my birthday month, and
You kind of said why
I
we
just
picked
told,
it.
Yep, I just told that whole long story, so
yep,
might as well. Yep, there's why.
There's why. So here's some super fun facts for you. In preparation for their roles as zombies, the cast and extras went through zombie camp where they learned how to move and react as walking corpses.
That would be That's fun. Funny.
Yep. When R returned to the airport with Julie, for the first time after the raid at the lab, an automated announcement is made in the background. It can be heard saying, "The white zone is for loading and unloading passengers only." This is taken from Airplane at the beginning of the movie when Ted first arrives.
That's funny.
I thought that was cute. Teresa Palmer mentioned on the DVD commentary that one of the moves she does during the zombie fight with the weed whacker is an homage to one of her previous roles, number 6 in I Am Number 4. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Yeah,
I saw it in theaters
when it came out.
Yeah.
But I heard that they butchered the book.
Oh.
So then I never touched the book or the... Yeah, it is.
So we'll be doing it sometime.
At some point, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Continuing the Romeo and Juliet theme, Perry for Paris, M for Marcus, or that's Marcus, is Mercutio, and Nora is the nurse.
That's funny. I love
so
that.
Cute. And number 5, 2 of Dave Franco's movies, 21 Jump Street and Warm Bodies, feature the same soundtrack, which is John Waite's Missing You and Midnight City. I ran out of fun facts, but...
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to dive this one into this one?
We are ready to dive this one into this one.
It's late. All right. Book kicks off. We get to know our zombie, and his name is R. He can't remember his name, but he remembers that it starts with R. And that's what bugs him most about being a zombie. He just can't remember his name. He figures he was well off in life because he had a tie and a business suit, and he can't remember what he did, but he kind of likes to imagine what people do based on what they're wearing. And his friend M... And they like to hang out and grunt to each other. And one day he found this other zombie and he liked her. So they got married. They like walked hand in hand, and like the bonies like did a wedding ceremony and they're married. And then the bonies give them children, like find zombie children and give it to them. And they just walk around together holding hands.
R never gets married in the movie. And he is wearing a hoodie. He does not have a suit and tie on.
Nope. And he never gets children.
No. I thought that would have been hilarious. I loved his explaining the children. He was like, why there are zombie children, I don't know. They do not have self-control.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be fun notes because my R 90% of the time is O-U-R or A-R-E. So I'm going to have to figure this out as we read along. Oh, my gosh. All right. So one day R felt very hungry. Even though he just ate a couple days ago, but he's like, M is like, we just ate a couple days ago. Why are you hungry? And he's like, let's go eat some more. So they went on a hunting trip and he hears these teenagers and they all go in and they attack. And they're pretty good, fast zombies when they're attacking. And he ate this one kid's brain because it's the best part, because he gets all the memories and the feelings and all that sort of stuff. And then he got these memories of this girl named Julie, and he realized she's in the raid with him. And so he's like, oh my gosh, I gotta save this girl. So he grabs her and he puts fake blood on her and he brought her back to the zombie compound, which was in this old airport. And the zombies are kind of like weirded out because they don't usually purposely turn people. It's more of a like the zombie got killed while he was eating the person. So that's why he comes back. They come back as a zombie. Like normally they always eat the brains and they don't come back as zombies. But he pretended he purposely changed her and brought her into his little airplane of collections. And he tried to calm her down and let her know that she's safe and he won't eat her. But of course, she's freaking out.
Yes, that does happen.
Yes. She is hungry. So he goes to the airport with her and gets in the food court and gets her some food. And because he's been eating Perry's brains, he knows what type of food she likes. And he got her a beer and all this sort of stuff. She offered him to taste it, but he doesn't taste anything when he eats food. And she's like, why won't you let me go? And he's like, I have to keep you safe, but I'll entertain you while you're here. And they go drive this really nice car. And she's trying to teach him how to drive, and he sucks at driving. And he took his kids along for some reason. They're sitting in the back seat, and they keep like trying to randomly bite her because they can smell that she is not dead. But he and they both Where stop. They stop him every time.
Oh, good boy.
Sorry. And while they're driving, he sees his wife hand in hand with another zombie. And Julie's like, is that your wife? What the heck? And he's just like, yeah, whatever.
So she does get hungry, but she tries to run and escape to go get food. And then she gets fucked because all the zombies smell her and R has to come and give fake blood on her again. Mm-hmm. And then he takes her to get food. They then do go drive, but he has no wife or kids, so that part doesn't happen.
They go back to the place and they're listening to music and talking, and she asked him who killed Perry, and it got really awkward because he didn't want to lie to her, but he also didn't want to tell her, I ate your boyfriend. So they kind of just, he somehow skidded past that, because he shrugged. And she said she's kind of happy he died. Like, she's sad, but it was like an inevitable thing, and like that's all he really kind of was worried about and talked about, so it's kind of a relief that it's over now. And she went to sleep, and R went off and wandered around a bit, and he walked in on his wife like sleeping with this new zombie, and he just kind of walks out. And I just could imagine that. Like, open the door and just turn around and walk out.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're with another dude? Okay, all right. Fine. That's fine. Cool.
And then he went and ate the last bit of brains that he had. And they were typical memories, but it ended up with Perry being killed. And he's like, this is not normal. I don't watch the death part. And he's kind of freaked out. But then Perry starts talking to him, like he's talking to R in this dream. And it kind of freaked him out. But then he was woken up by screaming, and he ran out to save Julie, who had escaped and been pinned down by zombies. And one of them was R's friend, M. And he beats him up. And M's like, what the heck? And he put his hand on his heart and then his hand on Julie's heart. And was like, no, do not eat her. She's mine.
So Perry doesn't talk to R in the dreams until like the last, very, very last bit of the movie. Mm-hmm. And there is a part where she is trying to sneak out again and gets cornered, and he has to run and come and save her. And mm-hmm. Marcus is there, and he tells Marcus to not take her.
Yes. So the skeletons or bonies are coming. And they show them pictures of war and death. Like, they're not attacking, what's her name? Even though they all know that she's human now. But they're showing war and death.
What's her name? Has we just had Julie conversations?
War and death between zombies and people and all this sort of stuff. And they all left. And Julie, like, she's back in the compound, like the airplane. And it's been a couple days. And she's like, it's time to go home. And he's like, okay. And he, like, goes to help her pack up and go home.
Yep, that happens.
Except the skeleton part, the bony part.
Didn't that happen?
Showing him pictures?
Oh, they didn't show the pictures of war and death. No, they just came and were speaking.
No, the bonies were super weird in the book because, so in the show or in the movie, they're described as like, they'll go after anything with a heartbeat, which is why they leave the zombies alone.
but they like are like the leaders. Like they're the ones who marry the zombies.
Yeah,
they're the ones like who get the ones... children. It's just sort of odd.
We are your leaders.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, okay. So they go, he's like, okay, I'm going to take you home the next day. We'll take the car. It'll be fine. And so R goes and talks to M for a little bit in the night. And M's like, what is happening right now? And R has no idea. He's like, I don't know. It's just, I feel something. And M's like, all right, I'm here to help you succeed. So he goes to sleep that night and he realizes he's dreaming and zombies don't dream. So this is a big deal. He's having a dream of Perry. And they go to leave. But there are bodies stopping them. The bodies are
bonies.
The bonies are stopping them. So like they're unable to leave, but they escape in the car and they get to this house and they camp there for the night. And Julie is exhausted, but she's also cold because it's been raining. And so she removes her clothes, but invites R to sleep in the bed with him or her because it's a king size bed. And he had another dream about meeting Julie's dad for the first time as Perry. And Julie wakes up and she like realizes, oh my gosh, I need to call my dad. I need to let him know I'm okay. So she goes to call her dad. And he's going to send someone. She's like, no, don't send anyone. Like, I'm fine. I'm almost home. But he's like, oh, I'm going to send someone to come get you.
I haven't said yet. That's kind of a big difference. Julie's dad is like this leader of the human army, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one dictating how many groups need to go out and fight the zombies and how to kill them. And, oh, we must get rid of them. So in this part of the movie, Julie does offer R to sleep in the same room with her, but makes him sleep on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then her dad shows up. Well, like her dad has been sending scouts through cities for the regular purposes. And then she sees and is like, oh shit, if I don't go out there, they're going to come in here and find you. So I got to go. So she goes and stops him from looking.
I mean, because I remember, but this was like children were interrupting me. They ended up leaving the next day. Like she ended up sleeping. So because I was confused, I made a video about that. I was like, if your dad is looking for you or if you're wanting to go home anyways, why wouldn't you just go out there and go home with them?
Oh, I thought she went with them.
I don't remember. I made a video of me being confused about that. So I was like, why are you sleeping in here? But you're like, they were staring out the window and they're like, oh, dad's after, like dad's out there. And then that's when they went and slept. And I was like, you're literally trying to get home.
Oh,
go
yeah.
outside.
I do remember that. You're right, actually. Yeah.
Because I was like, that's so stupid.
The only reason I could think is because she didn't want him to get R, but that also is dumb because then she ends up leaving R anyway.
Right. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that was dumb.
Okay. So, as Bree just said, she left R, like, before he woke up. She took the car and left. And she left a photo of, like, a Polaroid photo.
Oh, wait. There's a big thing that happens here in this scene when they're going to sleep. This is why she didn't leave him, because he needed to confess this to her. It's at this point where R tells Julie that he ate Perry. And so that's why she bounces, because she's like, oh, shit. I'm not okay with that.
Right. But he does not tell her here in the book.
No, he doesn't tell her ever in the book.
Not technically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
she figures it out.
Yeah.
She knows, but he never says yes.
He tells someone else.
Mm-hmm. And then they say, don't.
Yes. Well, she's off. And she had stolen a Polaroid camera from the bonies because they take pictures and she took it. And so she took a picture of him or her and left it for him. And then he's out searching for her and he sees zombies up the road. He's running up there to stop them because he's worried that they're going to get her. And it's M. And he's like, hey, I had a dream last night. He's like, what is happening? I'm dreaming. And they're all changing. And he brought a bunch of other zombies that are like starting to change too. And he's all beat up because the bonies kicked him out of town because he's starting to change. And they all agree, we need to help R get Julie, even if it's going to be really dangerous. And so they find their way to the entrance of the compound, the human compound. And all the zombies pretend to chase R.
And R has to pretend that he's human. He's like, oh, I'm running away from zombies. And the people just let him in.
Pretty much everything there happens except for that last part. He just kind of, I can't even remember how he gets in the compound. But they have like that.
Because of Perry's memories, he knows of like the secret way in and out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which seems like a flaw.
Like, yeah.
Zombies can eat brains.
Yep. Maybe you shouldn't find be telling everyone.
Yeah, exactly. All right. All right. So now we get another memory from Perry that he wishes he knew. Like, he's not happy that he's stuck in a stadium, trapped here. And Julie's like, it's the safest place. It's great. We're going to be here. It's fine. And then he talks to his dad about how he's in love with Julie. And it's like, is that stupid? Because, you know, the world's ending. And his dad's like, nah, I would love your mom every single day. Like, if I had 1 month or the 19 years I got. And so he's like, okay.
But yeah. In the book, Julie's mom left them. But in the movie, Julie's mom died.
Yes.
And at this point in the movie, R gets a dream with Perry, Nora, and Julie. And that's the first time and only time he ever sees and talks to Perry in his dreams. And Perry basically is like, you're getting your hopes up for your shot with Julie. It's never going to work. Her dad will never be okay with it.
Aw, so sad. Mm-hmm. Also, in the movie, Julie's the one that hates to be locked up. But in the book, it, at least this scene, I feel like it switches eventually. But right now, it's
Perry
that hates it.
Yeah.
Yep. So he, R is inside now, and he starts wandering around, and he's smelling Julie. And he gets bit in the leg by a dog, because the dog's like, zombie. And the six-year-olds stop the dog. And they're like, please don't tell our mom. And then he's like, nah, it's fine. They're like, are you a zombie? And he's like, Julie doesn't think I am. And they're like, okay. he's like, do you know where Julie's house is? They're like, no, over there. And then she comes out on the balcony and she's doing like this journal tape journal thing on recorder. And he looks up and he calls after her. And Romeo and Juliet style. See, I probably would have got it right here, too, in the book.
Oh, he lays it out. R and Julie. R and Julie. Star-crossed lovers.
Not supposed to be together.
The dog bit does not happen in the movie, but the rest of it does.
Mm-hmm. So Nora comes out, and they get him inside, and they're talking with him, and Nora's all interviewing him, right? Like, the best friend should figure out who this guy is that's trying to date her girl. And then she's also interviewing him because he's a zombie, and like, that's very cool. And so he then, you know, the night goes on, he has another dream of Perry, and this time Perry's upset because his dad died from a freak accident, like at the construction. He worked at construction and a brick fell on his head and killed him. And this is when he decided he wanted to be in the military. He's done doing his like writing or agriculture or whatever he was going to do. He wants to be in the military.
This part does not happen in the movie.
His dad dies from a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So R's looking around. He's been awake for a few hours, but then the girls finally wake up. And while he was looking around, he looked at the book that Nora was reading, which is Grey's Anatomy. So he's like learning about the body that he eats all the time. And he's like, oh, I don't like that very much. And so then he goes back to the room where the girls are. And he's like, they're like, what do you want? Like, why are you here? What should we do? He's like, I just want to see the city. I want to see what it's like to be human and everything. And they're like, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we gotta do a makeover. And I loved in the book how it said, I wish my life was a movie so that I could just do a montage of this. Because that's what they did in the movie. It was so cute.
It was the best part.
It was awesome. And so, you know, the girls are like, they clean his clothes and they like put band-aids on wounds and put makeup on him and all this sort of stuff. And eventually he looks very cute. He looks like a young little zombie guy. Not zombie, human guy. He's supposed to look human.
Young little zombie guy. they failed.
Yes. I'll pause there.
Yeah. So pretty much all this happens. But then when they ask him what he's doing there, he tells them that Julie and him are making a change in the zombies, and the zombies are starting to get heartbeats again. So then Julia's like, oh my God, we need to go tell my dad. So that's why they do the makeover for him and get him all dressed up.
Yep. Whereas now they're just exploring the town, and Julie takes him to places. Like, he goes to, she takes him to the cemetery, and at the cemetery brings him to where her mom is buried. And she says, my mom just went crazy one day, couldn't handle being locked up. So she ran out and basically got eaten by zombies. And
this part does not happen in the movie.
Nope. So he gets another memory conversation with Perry, and Perry woke up knowing he was going to die today. It was his first day as an officer collecting medical supplies, doing a raid, and he walks past Nora, and she's like with the kids doing whatever she's doing. And she's like, have you looked at the information about the raid yet? Because I'm going, and so is Julie, because it's also the 2-year anniversary of his dad's death. So they know that he's kind of like suicidal right now because he does not care if he dies. And they were going to go to make sure he stays alive. Well, that didn't happen because this was the raid where R ate him. So good job, good ladies. But then he starts talking with Perry, and he's like, he's saying, all right, you want something to change. You need to do it. I've given you, we've laid out everything. You've seen the past. You've seen, like, you need to do something to make change happen. And R is like, I don't know what that is. And they're back in, like, normal land, and they run into Julie's dad.
In normal land?
Normal, not dreamland. Normal
in real life. In a normal land.
Yes.
None of that happens, but they do end up running into Julie's dad.
Yes. And when they run into Julie's dad, he's like, you're under arrest because you snuck in through the gate. You need to go to customs, blah, 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 blah. Not under arrest because you're a zombie. But then.
Yeah.
It's slowly starting to trigger, but not yet. But in the movie, he knows he's a zombie.
Right away. Yep. Right away. And is angry, and Julie keeps jumping in front of R and is like, no, you can't hurt him. I love him. He's not like the other guys.
At all. So they went to a bar, but it doesn't serve alcohol, so it's not really a bar. It's a juice bar. But they get grapefruit juice because it's really bitter, and then they go mix it with alcohol in the back. And while Julie's in the back outing some alcohol, R and her are talking. And, or sorry, Nora and R are talking, and he admits he's the one who killed Perry. And she's like, just tell Julie, like, I slept with Perry when they first, like, when I first came to the compound, and she hated me, but now look, we're best friends. And she's like, oh, okay, okay. And then R starts drinking, and he realizes he has to pee, like, he's getting bodily functions, and he also realizes he's drunk. So, like, things are happening, and when he comes back, he sees these drunk guys talking to Julie and Nora.
That does not happen in the movie.
No, because bad things are about to happen. They stagger outside, or R staggers outside, and these drunk guys follow. And they give him a kind of a hard time about knowing Julie and being friends with Julie. And R, like, I think they go to punch him or something like that, and R attacks them. And he doesn't know if they survived or not, but he didn't, like, bite them or eat them or anything. He just attacked them. And then he's running away, and a security guard tries to stop him. And he's drunk, so he's staggering. So the security guard's kind of like, hey, you know, have you been drinking tonight? And he makes, like, groaning noises, so he really looks zombie. And he goes to shoot him. So then R attacks him and, like, eats him, bites him. Did he eat his brain? No, he just attacked him. So he'll come back as a zombie.
Yeah, he says that in the book. He goes, oh, shit. But also, yeah. I didn't want to eat his brain.
Right. Because he did good because he stopped himself, because that's not what Julie would want. And he's, like, trying to change and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, I'll stop there.
That does not happen in the movie.
Nope. So he goes home, and Julie shows up, and she's kind of like, whoa, where'd you go? Blah, 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 blah. And he says, come with me. And he brings her to the orphanage that Perry lived at because his dad died. And he grabbed a book that he was writing for her. And that kind of made it confirm that he was the one that killed Perry. Like, how else would he know that type of thing? And on their way home, an alarm goes off and there's been a breach, and they go home and they're trying to figure out what to do. And then a phone rings and Julie's like, this is weird. This is from our outside phone line, which we don't use anymore. And it turns out it's M.
This does not happen in the movie.
None of it.
Nope. Not a single part.
So then they're like, hey, you guys have started something. Zombies are coming from all over and they're changing. And Julie agrees, like, Julie and R agree they need to do something. They need to go out and save everyone. So they're coming up with this plan when Julie's dad comes in and he goes to shoot R in the head. And Julie cuts him with a knife and makes him drop his gun, and they go off running, and they get stopped by Rosie, which is the, like, head military guy. Like, yeah. And, but they get away and they go to M.
This does not happen because in the movie, her dad shoots R in the chest and then notices that he's bleeding, and she's like, see, dad, he's changing. We can change him.
So R is like, okay, like, and Julie are like, what's the plan? Oh, no, M is like, what's the plan? Because they meet up. Yeah, they end up meeting up. So they're in person now. And R is like, we're just going to go back to the airport. Let's just start there. That's home base. Let's get them all. And they're like, we can't go back. The bonies won't let us go back. Like, they, like, chased us out. And he's like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that. And so he's like, okay, let's go to the stadium. But so if we go into the stadium, which is where the compound for the humans are, all the people are going to shoot the bonies because the bonies are starting to come. And they're like, Julie's like, they'll shoot you too. And they'll be like, no, we'll hide. They'll just shoot the bonies. And Julie's like, this is an awful plan.
This doesn't happen. This would have been so good to see.
I know. That would have been cool. So the zombies split up and R and Julie go one way. And eventually they realize that the bonies are after them because they're the ones who started changing everybody. And so she goes around and grabs the car that she had gone home with, and they race towards the entrance of the stadium. And there are hundreds of bonies coming.
That does not happen in the movie.
No. I like the movie where all the zombies are fighting the bonies, and then the people are like, who do we shoot, sir? So they convince Rosie to help them take care of the bonies, and they let them back in. And Nora's there, and they go to save Nora because she's been arrested because she helped hide R in the place. And they're trying to figure out how to break her out. And eventually, Julie and R kiss. And she kept asking. She's like, will this turn me? He's like, I don't think so. Well, I don't think this has ever happened before. No clue. And so then there's this moment that they can't explain, and the skeletons stop trying to pursue them. Julie's dad comes out. First off, let's just pause right there. That's all it took. Was them to kiss, and then the bonies are like,
Jesus, they should have kissed forever ago.
They're like, oh, well, we lost. Oh, might as well.
Well, that's it. Someone found love, damn it. And why is it just those two? Like,
right? So weird. Well, Julie's dad comes out and tells Rosie to shoot both of them. And Rosie's like, I'm not going to do that. Like, clearly, Julie's not turned, and this guy looks like he's unturning. And that's when dad pulls a gun and he's about to shoot his own daughter. And then comes a bony and they start attacking the dad. And Julie's like, shoot them to R or Rosie. And he doesn't. And then they've like fell off the balcony or something like that. And they disappear. Julie confirms that R is in fact alive.
Her dad does not fall down and disappear. He hugs his daughter after R is bleeding, and he's like, oh shoot. And they're like, we have found a cure. We will go and cure everyone.
Yes. But instead of her dad being the hero in the book, Rosie is pretty good, and he says, all right, y'all, we're gonna get life back to normal. It's gonna be weird, but every zombie is going to have a living to bodyguard them so that they'll shoot them dead if they try and turn. And we're just gonna help try and make them feel human again. And that's how we're going to do it. And then Julie and R are sitting together at the airport talking. And she asks him if he wants a new name because, like, does he remember his name? He doesn't. And he's like, no, I like R.
That conversation does happen in the movie.
Yes. And that's it.
We did it.
I love this one. This is cute.
Yeah, it's a good one.
IMDb credited 61 people.
I don't think you said that in the last one.
I don't think I even said a Pepper in the last one.
We just went straight in the cast.
Oh, well, luckily it was a series, so I said it like the other two knives. Okie dokie. We got Nicholas Holt plays R.
I love him as R. He was so cute as R.
He was so cute. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Teresa Palmer played Julie.
What's funny is because I went into the book knowing her, I didn't recast, but watching her, I feel like her cadence and her talking is slow. And it was driving me crazy. I was like, can you speed it up?
That's funny. I liked her. I thought she did good. But yeah. I watched it first before I read it. So, you know. We got Leo Tipton played Nora.
Love her. I forget what I've seen her in, but I love her.
I know. I recognize her, but I don't know from what either. But yeah, she did really good. Yep. Mm-hmm. And she same with, Rob Corddry. He's M. What have I seen?
I love him. He's hilarious. He's in a lot of comedies.
Yeah,
look, he's so funny. Image right there is from like the Ashton Kutcher movie about Vegas with Cameron Diaz.
Oh, that's right. Yep, he's so funny. He did really good in this one.
Yeah, he was great as that.
Mm-hmm. And Dave Franco played Perry.
I forgot that he was Perry. So when he came on the screen, I was like, "Oh, Dave Franco, this must have been your first little role."
It was cute. It was like. And then I was like, oh, he died. And I forgot that he comes back in memories. I'm like, they cast Dave Franco as like to die right away. But I guess that's true. This would have been like early years.
So. Yeah, this was before he was anyone big. Yeah.
Wow, you're right. Let me look up. I got to look up. How long ago? How many things did you do? He was in Charlie St. Cloud. What the heck? He was in Superbad. Really? Greg the soccer player. Okay, so these were not real roles. Shortcut played Mark. I don't know, Privileged. 13 episodes of Scrubs. What?
Oh, wow.
I never watched Scrubs, but that's funny.
Me neither. I know I would like it, but I just haven't ever watched it.
21 Jump Street came out before Warm Bodies did.
What?
And he was bigger in that. It came out a year before.
Yeah, he was.
That was probably one of his big first roles.
I was going to say, but I bet you filming was done maybe in reverse order or something.
Maybe. But yeah, so it was mm-hmm. one of his first, but that makes sense then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And then we have, lastly, George Malkovich played.
Do you want to reread his name?
John Malkovich. George, what the hell? Gergio, the dad.
Joe.
Why did I get George? I think because I was looking at the G in
Gergio.
Gergio. I think I was looking at the G down there. So I just, and the G-O for in John. And then the R in Gergio. Jor. And there's another G. That's what I did. I just spliced them together.
You just said it with such conviction. George Malkovich.
George Malkovich played John. Well, okay, if I switch that to George, then this would be He played the dad.
He did really good. He always plays a really good, odd character.
He does really good. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's what I got for you.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yeah. Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do the characters stay true? Not dad.
Yeah, dad's the main difference. Other than that, pretty much, they do.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer?
I think this is the season of me fucking up our theory, because I prefer the book.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I'm writing it down, sorry.
Yeah.
You haven't messed up yet, except one.
Oh, well then, spoiler alert.
I have messed up three so far. So
that's hilarious. Actually, I just realized maybe it's not that much then. Maybe it's not that
we'll
much different.
See.
We'll see. Well, we'll see.
Anyway. But you like the book better. Interesting. Why?
I do. I really do. I like... I like the zombie life. I like learning more about him having like a wife and kids and like dealing with zombie stuff. I like more of the story when he gets to go into the human world and like experience the human things rather than just being there to fight. I liked the book so much more.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the book, but I think I was just, I love, like, rewatching it. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how much I love this movie. And so I was super stoked to read the book. And I don't know what, maybe it was the audiobook reader. I don't know. But I loved R in the movie and his like witty commentary and all that sort of stuff. And it was in the book, but it was almost like he just was a little wittier in the movie, I feel like. And so, and then I don't think I like the audiobook reader's voice. So that did not help.
That's hilarious. But, I did the audiobook for this too.
Yeah. Did you like his voice?
It was fine. I mean, it's one of the better ones that I've heard.
So, but I think the movie is just too cute.
Movie is good.
I know Riley came up. So I was trying to pause it, right? Because like, it's not scary, but it is a zombie movie and the bonies are kind of scary. So the girls were having a sleepover and there was like 4 9-year-olds. And they would come up and do like fondue every once in a while. And so finally it got to the end of the movie where I'm like, whatever, who cares? And so it's the scene with Marcus walking with the girl.
In the umbrella.
Yes. And he's like, you're very pretty. And she's like, oh, thank you. And he's like, this is where you say you're very pretty too. And Riley's just looking at me like, what are you watching? I'm like, it's a zombie love story. She's almost like, you're so embarrassing, Mom.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. Well, would you recommend it to a friend?
Yeah, I would. Both of them.
I would as well. Yep, same. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's what we got for you today.
We finished Warm Bodies.
We did. What a fun episode.
That word
that I couldn't find.
But now we've got a sneak peek for you.
We do. We do.
Did y'all know that we actually officially have a website?
What?
Yeah. You can find it at this website, wentoffscript.com.
I almost like said our old one. Because I was, I was distracted, and I was like, oh, script 253, don't we say
that? That is matter. Not it anymore. That except for at your mom's party, the lady who was talking to my mom about the podcast that I then had to go and talk to about, my mom was like, you got to give her a bookmark. Do you have a bookmark on you? And I was like, yeah, it's in the car. I don't want to go to the car. And of course, John being John was like, oh, go get it. So John goes and gets a bookmark for me to give
they
to her.
They have all of our old websites on them. I didn't even think I realized that.
After I handed it to her, I was like, fuck.
That's okay. On our website, our old one, it has our website has moved.
Good.
So yeah.
Good.
So come join
because
us.
Because I was like, this is why we need new bookmarks.
That makes sense. I'm glad I have not ordered them yet because I would have ordered the exact same thing.
Well, you know what I just realized? I have a shit ton of fucking QR codes that are no longer
Available.
I got those out. Okay.
Well, yes.
Good to remember that.
Yes. Good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. All right. Well, on our website, our actual website, you can contact us. Tell us what we missed. Tell us how great we are. Tell us books that you would love to see done. You can also get our newsletter. Brie works really hard on our newsletter.
I really fucking do, everyone. Yes. I fucking have to look into the new one.
She does work hard on it. We're just in a learning curve right now, but she works on it. And
I do. I update it every month. I send it out every month. Sometimes people open it.
That's the only email you get is that one from us. Mm-hmm. We don't spam your email or anything.
And you and can it's all literally... Yeah. It just tells you what we're up to, what's coming up for the month, what our most recent episode was.
Yeah, it's fun.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Do it. And you can also, did you know, sign up for little free library bookmarks. Oh, well, you could do that, but we need to order
at the moment.
We just said, didn't we?
We don't have the right bookmarks, but yes, you can.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And a reminder that this is now a video podcast as well. So we are on the interwebs on YouTube.
And Spotify.
And Spotify. Oh, Spotify does video also?
Yeah, I just have to remember because we don't host through them anymore.
Oh, that's
right. Just have to remember to post it the Monday that it comes out. So sometimes it might not be up right away, everyone, but it will get up at some point on Spotify.
YouTube. Yes.
YouTube is up right away. Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, how cool. How cool is mm-hmm. that?
And if you watch us on YouTube or Spotify, like it, subscribe to our channel, leave us a comment, let us know what you thought.
For real. Let's do it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, maybe we'll have something.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Fingers crossed for us.
Yes.
Fingers crossed.
And Monday, we have your final birthday pick. Conclave. Your face says it all. Have you watched it yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have started reading I think I read a chapter and a half. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So far it's identical. Which is not.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I only have 3 notes.
Oh my gosh.
And my notes, actually, I'm pretty positive 2 of them are incorrect and that they are actually correct. So there's only 1 that is my note. Yeah, I can't wait to explain to you what I thought this book and movie was going to
be. I'm excited to hear about it because
You're like, why did Brie pick this? Why is this one of her birthday picks?
I'm like, over here.
Brie's not that devout of a Catholic.
All right. I had to watch it really bad. And Tyler was like, I want to sleep in your room. I'm like, fine, but we're watching this really, like, this movie that's not going to be fun for you. He's like, that's fine. And oh my gosh. And I'm like, okay, it's not a kids movie, but it's rated PG. That's all you people have to know. That there's no action. there's nothing, no fun, inappropriate, funny jokes. It is.
And what sucks is that also has an all-star cast.
It does. Like, you would think. I mean, I think that's what made it the little enjoyable that it was.
Well, also, Allie, I don't think you realized when this movie came out, a few weeks later, our Pope died.
So the movie came out first?
Movie came out first, then Pope died. Then Conclave started.
Right.
So I think a lot of the hype around it was also because of that.
Makes sense. But man, I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on it. Because I just shared a bunch of mine on the wrong episode. So
You really did. No, I have to. That one is, you'll find out the majority of my thoughts in the Brie. Why did we pick this one?
Okay. I'm excited. Next week.
Yep.
Do it. Oh my gosh.
With that, warm bodies.
Went off script.
Bye.
Bye. Oh.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout out to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find BookTales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for BookTales.